Hi everyone. I just found out that I was not invited to the meeting. They're like, you should get authenticated to join this meeting. So, we'll just wait a few minutes, but I just wanted to first do the land acknowledgement. And so the Gaokono land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaokono, the Cayuga Nation. Gaokono people are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gaokono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gaokono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. And this land acknowledgement has been reviewed and approved by the traditional Gaokono leadership. And so today's conversation is to hear faculty feedback about the proposal to bring back the research or reactivate the research scientist position for RTE faculty. And we in the Faculty Senate gave some history of the legislation that led to the choices to, I guess, take it off the books for some faculty. And so I just want to remind people of the legislation and institutional context. And so we have RTE researchers, so research, teaching, and extension faculty who are researchers. They're contract-based researchers, not eligible for tenure, but often pursue long-term careers. And we have currently the research associate and senior research associate group. We have the assistant associate and research professor, so three tiers. And the research scientist is still on the book for new appointments, but only those researchers who are in a research division like CSIS or CHESS. And so, and there's two tiers in that that class of researcher, research scientist, and principal research scientist. And as a reminder, in 2004, Resolution 42 recommended the establishment of research scientists. And then in 2015, Resolution 109, they created the research professor title, a series of titles and ranks, and left it so that research scientist was no longer available except for units that are considered research divisions who do not accept tenure track faculty. And I guess that is, oh, and then I guess the last part. I think this is crucial for today's conversation is that when this decision was made in 2015, research, teaching, and extension faculty were in the employee assembly without university voting rights. So in 2019, in the spring of 2019, the Senate passed a resolution 131 to give university voting rights to RTE faculty who were at the senior tier. So that they have representation. And I think that's critical for our conversation today, that when this vote took place initially in 2015, it was just university faculty. And since it's a relatively small group, we can have this conversation. I should let you know that it's being recorded, and we're going to make it widely available on our website afterwards and also share it with audiences that we think should be hearing your voices. And so I just wanted to let you know that that's the case and for you to speak freely. And whomever wants to start the conversation, please just put up your hand and we'll get started. So the forum is meant to be a dialogue, a conversation. So it's not formal. It really is for us to speak with each other. And so if there are people who think that we should be reactivating this title for RTE, I'd love to hear from you and also from people who have some reservation. I can say I've spoken with academic HR, and there is work to do that if we do make the choice to reactivate this title, it will have to be described differently than it is right now. Because at the moment, the research scientist position and the research professor title and ranks have very similar job descriptions. And really, the essential difference for when you are being promoted to senior research scientist, there are slightly less letters of recommendation that you need for the dossier review. And again, if you do want to give some feedback on this and want your voice to be heard, this is an opportunity to do so. Yes, Richard.
Yes, I thought this was Ken Berman's resolution that we. Where is Ken?
Oh, this is this. There's no mandatory.
No, I understand, but he was the original advocate,
And
and
so,
he's
yeah,
not, here.
so he advocated at the Faculty Senate, and I am opening up this forum for others who haven't had a chance to speak on the issue. So there are people who may have missed the Senate meeting, or yeah. So there was no mandatory attendance by any senator.
No, I understand. Is anyone here a co-sponsor of the resolution?
Well, this is not, this is just a proposal. This is not a resolution yet. This is just a
Okay,
conversation.
of the proposal that, I mean, Ken asked for co-sponsors. So the question is whether anyone in this forum is a co-sponsor of the proposal.
Well, it's not actually something under consideration at the Faculty Senate right now. So there's work to do. So right now, this genuinely is just a conversation. And I would love to hear.
Yeah, I can say, Richard, one of the things that would hope to emerge from this is that proposal, right? So that we can get to the point where we would have the those who are interested in turning it into a proposal. And then, as Eve mentioned, as it comes forward as a proposal, there'll need to be some really discrete guidelines so that we can understand how individuals might enter into these lines. So we've been talking since the time at the meeting, we've been talking about how there is, so there's the associate, associate, senior associate, scientist, senior scientist, and then research professor, which goes from assistant, associate, and then full research professors. And so in each of those titles, there is a trajectory, but then there's not necessarily any guidelines that indicate where you might move from one title to another, but there's no prohibiting that. So somebody might come in, they might start working with somebody as a research associate because that's the title that's most appropriate. But then through time, they really want to apply for a grant. They're starting to mentor graduate students. They're moving into a different space. So you may, let me think about this. I'd like to move them over to be a research scientist or a research professor. And having guidelines as to where they might move and then how they would move through that track could be would be appropriate as we move this into a proposal. So that proposal would need to be fleshed out into what these positions actually mean and how you would evaluate transitioning within those positions or even between those positions.
At this point, this is genuinely exploring the space, understanding what's needed. And what we don't want to do is to create a new line or titles for RTE faculty without thinking through the implications for them and for each other. And so this is why we're having this conversation. We will work very closely with academic HR and likely have to bring in the provost as well once we get a resolution, if there's enough energy behind it. Yeah, Elizabeth, go for it.
Sorry, I don't seem to have a normal hand, so I have to use a real one. I don't seem to have a Zoom hand. So, and that Chelsea's point brings up something that I think fits in with some of this discussion. And then, of course, I'm always going to bring up extension because I think that's somewhat parallel. But the concept of it being an additional way to move through, you know, moving from associate to scientist. So we're not actually talking about, maybe we aren't, I'm not sure, talking about removing the associate positions. But then if it also says, well, you can come in as a research associate, you move to senior research associate, and then do you have the possibility to move to a research scientist? And does that give you a salary increase or whatever? Because all of these associate positions, research or extension, they're bounded. I mean, you know, if you come in as a senior extension associate or a senior research associate, that's as far as you can go. And that is an issue, certainly at CALS. I can tell you how many research associate and senior research associates we had as of December 21 in CALS. There were 73 research associates and 30 senior research associates. I haven't heard from very many. I did ask if there are people for whom, you know, they said that this is something that they would really like to see. Either as adding another layer of we can move from this point to this point. I'm not sure if they've thought about it that way. Or it's like, do you just want to switch? Is the title, one of the things that Ken mentioned was the title being of associate being somewhat more demeaning or less prestigious. And I think to some extent people might be like, well, this is the title that I have, but if you're going to give me a way to move up another notch, that's an important piece.
Well, I would say the research scientist and the research professor, they are both independent of tenure track faculty and or PIs. So you stand as your own PI for both research scientist and a research professor, which is not the case for a research associate.
And is so the case for senior research associate?
Possibly for senior research associate. I actually have the definitions right here. So let me open up.
And it's true for senior extension associate.
Yeah. Where you write your own grants and things like that, but not the first level.
But then the other issue, which I mean, all these things are so interwoven. And certainly in CALS, one of the things that's come up is that, you know, people come in and they might be a postdoc for a while, and then there's a point at which they need to move them into something else. And so they kind of get moved over into one of these other positions, and they're funding bound because they're in on grants. So while they could write grants for themselves, it may not be something that they can even, in a way, they can't actually do. I mean, you're like, you're on a grant, you're supposed to spend your time on that grant, not writing other grants. We have that issue sometimes. But so, yeah, so it gets complicated, I think.
It does. And I'm double checking for senior research associate. It's still in collaboration with a principal investigator or having a faculty sponsor, which the research scientist does not have that. So I wanted to make sure that I was not misspeaking there. So that is the case. And that's why the current proposal is to bring this in as a distinct grouping that would have that level of independence, but not have to have the same distinguished dossier that the research professor has. And so it does seem like there is a missing center. Charlie. I think you're muted. Unfortunately, you're muted. We still can't hear you, unfortunately. There we go. Yes.
Sorry about all that. My general feeling is that the more flexibility we have in the academic system, the better off we are. And the research professor and that chain of things, I think, has a lot of potential, but it kind of is its own thing. It's not the same thing as a tenured professor. It's a research professor, which does not involve tenure. But the scientist, this new proposed track or rejuvenation of this track seems to me to just greatly increase our flexibility. It seems to me it's up to individual departments which of these various titles is going to be most appropriate for people that they want to hire in one way or another. And so I'm very much in favor of this general idea.
Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, go for it.
I'm getting some emails or chats to me asking, has anyone brought up the concept of doing the same thing for extension? So I want to officially bring up the question of doing the same thing for extension.
I already have it on my pad. I wrote it down.
Okay, good. Thank you.
And so we have, as you guys know, probably most of you know that we have a research teaching extension faculty task force that was brought together by Charlie Van Loan to think through creating voting university voting rights for RTE and bringing them into the faculty senate. And so I've maintained that task force so that we can work through a lot of issues that were sort of left hanging. And I think this could be a very important conversation to have through the task force. And the task force has pretty good representation, but we found out that it doesn't really have good representation for this particular group of RTE. And so we're expanding the committee by one or two to bring in research scientists and research associates, especially in the College of, we have one from CALS that we're bringing in and probably two from Arts and Sciences, so that we have representation from the largest colleges. Yes, Keith.
So I just want to, first of all, thank everyone who's responsible for this forum to be able to even have the conversation. But there's two things I wanted to mention when we talk about the analog of research and extension. The first is when we're talking about the associate title, which I think this is correct across both research and extension, it's not just that it seems a bit pejorative and so forth. There is a functional problem, and that is that if you happen to get the special permission that's required to actually be a PI, either as a senior extension associate or as a senior research associate, there's never a drop-down item at NIFA, at NSF, or anywhere else that you might be applying for funding for associate. It doesn't exist. So you're always checking the other box. And we all have had plenty of conversation about what it means to be checking the box of other. So that I think that's an important thing to put on the table, just in terms of the practicality of some of the naming of these things. The other thing I think.
Can I ask, would there be a title research scientist?
There is scientist.
Okay.
So you could at least not be othering yourself automatically in the application procedure in drop-down menus. In many cases, there is that. The other point I think that is salient is that in the extension track in particular, it's difficult, you know, to get past that that last sort of glass ceiling if you're a senior extension associate, partly because there really isn't a place to go. But the other is that many in extension don't want to be perceived as having fled extension to pursue a research title in order to have some upward mobility, because many of us are quite loyal to what extension is and don't want to be seen as leaving that in order to sort of pursue our own quote unquote selfish career upward mobility. So I think those two challenges are brought to the conversation by virtue of this conversation, but I don't mean to derail us from the specifics of the conversation at hand. Just wanted to make those two points.
Oh, Keith, I really appreciate that. And that's why we're having the forum. I think we want to have the space where people can bring in nuanced parts of the conversation that are not happening in the Senate. So I really do appreciate it. It is not a derailment in any sort of way. It's central to the conversation. Yes, Kim.
Yes, Eve. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for convening this forum. And just to echo what Keith has said, and I know this is about the research title and not extension, excuse me, specifically, I am a I am a senior extension associate. And I think maybe what we can do to kind of just maybe get ahead of this for the extension discussion that I see is being previewed as maybe coming on the tails of this, because there are several concerns. And so Betsy, thank you for raising that. I think one of the things that I have heard from colleagues is no one really knows what the title extension associate means or what we do or what we represent. And that carries over, of course, to senior extension associate. And I wonder if part of that is, you know, there is a general sense that we have three pillars at Cornell, research, teaching, and extension, but the extension and outreach pillar really is the lowest in the hierarchy. And I'd say several notches lower than the other two. And so there's not a sense of balance among the three, you know, missions. We are a land grant university. And so I do think that it's important to keep that always up there with the research and teaching missions. But no one, I guess maybe other land grant universities, but from a professional perspective, I have been asked many times and again, have heard from colleagues, what does senior extension associate or what is an extension associate? What does that mean? So I think there's maybe just something around the naming, and that doesn't necessarily change kind of where we are or how you progress through the system or the protocols involved. But Keith, yes, I have bumped up against that. First of all, it's also very difficult as a senior extension associate and not a tenure track or tenured faculty member to get funding from larger funding sources like NSF, NIH. It's almost impossible because you don't have the program or that a research associate or a tenure track or tenured faculty member may have. And we all know that there are shrinking resources and higher competition for those funds. Yet at the same time, the majority of us are asked to fund at least half, if not 100% of our positions. And so we're kind of in this push me, pull you situation where if you want to stay, you get your own funding, and getting funding is becoming increasingly more difficult, and the titles do not help. So I would just add that. And I do think it's something we can take up on the RTE task force, but it's just, I think it's systemic. So I think it goes much deeper than just the name. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
And I should say that the RTE task force is a place where we get multiple perspectives on something. And then it's the work of the Office of the Dean of Faculty to then go pursue how to make all of those things concrete. And so I just want to make that clear that we're gaining the perspective, we're refining sort of the ask and what it is that we need to do. And then it's for this office then to go and speak to academic HR, council, provost, president, all of those places to then effect change. Yes, Buzz.
Thank you. I just want to chime in with my own experiences about this. Before I came to Cornell, I was a fellow at Princeton, and I was offered a sort of what would amount to kind of like a non-tenure track research position. And, you know, I up until that point, I've been having a great time, right? You know, these jobs that allow you to really focus on research are potentially really fantastic. In some ways, I'd love to still have that job because I think it would be sort of, you know, I think it would be a kind of an outlet for my talents maybe a better outlet for my talents, actually, than as a sort of a tenure track sort of teaching research faculty, to be quite honest. That being said, you know, the reason I came here, the reason I left was, you know, there was a pervasive opinion. I think we've heard about it here in the forum, that, you know, the people who have that non-tenure track job just don't get the respect And as a result, they're not able to raise the funds that they need to kind of fully exploit their potential. They're not able to get the students as well to do it. So sort of anything, you know, anything that we can do, I think, to sort of improve the prestige of that position and hence improve its ability to get resources, get students, I think is worth doing. I would sort of frame it in, you know, in the sort of the lens of like research competitiveness. Up until very recently, right, the US was kind of like the undisputed champion of world science. And, you know, I kind of worry that that position might be slipping. And I think that, you know, we have to figure out ways to sort of better improve our research effectiveness. And sort of having people who are purely dedicated to it might be part of that solution. If we are going to go down that route, we have to improve the kind of, it's weird to think the prestige, you would think people wouldn't care about it, but I think they do. And I think the people who work with those people certainly care about it.
We have also some comments here from Betsy. Betsy, did you want to speak to them, the comments in the chat, or would you like me to just read them? Okay, I will just read them and then you can.
No, sorry, I was unmuting. Okay. I was unmuting. One, I haven't been raising my hand, so I feel bad jumping in line from the folks in the corner that have their hands risen. I'm just trying to respond to what Buzz just was talking about is true, and it's true when you look at extension or when you look at research. Certainly, Cornell University and what Kimberly mentioned, I was shocked as an alumni of Cornell University when I got a survey that had Catherine Bohr's name at the bottom of it, that extension was not an option for careers our alumni pursue. It was not even on there at Cal's. And to Kimberly's point, this is a three-legged stool: research, education, and extension. And research and education was there, but extension was not even an option, which to me is like a real indication of the lack of priority or the lack of inclusion, if you will. So I think that's one thing. I think the other thing that Buzz brings up is this issue of access to students. I've been told you don't publish enough papers, but you're not allowed to have students. So I can have students do research, and I can get them to, you know, do the research and publish papers, but you have to do that all on your own. And by the way, you're not allowed to chair committees. So let's tie an arm behind our back and then tell us we're not swimming well. I think that's an issue. And certainly, I don't necessarily know if it's prestige. I think what it is I struggle. I have all soft money. I have 15 people in my program. I lose them because there's no job security. And I have definitely shoved people out of the nest who were great because there is nowhere to go as a senior extension associate. Once you hit there, you're done. And some of us stay here because we're here. We either like our jobs or we're stuck here because of our situation. But I have definitely encouraged people to leave my program once they hit senior extension associate because there's no more career advancement. You're stuck.
And so, Betsy, yeah. Well, one, I prioritized your comments because it was highly relevant to what Buzz was just saying. So you didn't jump the line. I invited you. And then the other thing I wanted to ask is, would you find the option of extension scientist, does that make sense for extension as well? Like, are you also somebody who would advocate for that?
Part of me is a rose by any other name. I mean, the issue is what are we trying to solve? Creating another name of something. Professor of practice was another one that we threw out there, which what did that get us? I guess. I think one of the concerns we have in extension is again, research, extension, teaching. What are those titles and are they fair across the delineation? But the issue of what does it mean, which is I think what Buzz is getting at, which is like, what are we actually trying to do here? What's the goal? And I think the goal is retaining people, giving people professional advancement opportunities, making them competitive, to Kimberly's point, making them competitive in the grant field. I've been lucky and been competitive with a senior extension associate, but I have had to do ridiculous things in my department to get grants submitted sometimes. Things that no tenure track faculty would ever have to do. You know, it's ridiculous the things you have to, the extra effort you have to go through to get a normal thing done. And it shouldn't be that way. It, you should not have to climb a mountain somebody else doesn't have to climb.
And
but
so
that's the situation.
And that is actually something that the, if you were to have extension scientist and it was defined comparably to research scientist, that would be one solution. Because then you would be able to be an independent PI and submit your own grants without jumping through hoops. So I think that we could keep that. And by the way, I'm going to save this chat and all of this is going to be posted on our website. And Caroline, I saw you nodding crazy to that last comment. So
no. I'm in the middle of some of that right now. I actually had a question just to flip back to the research scientist. Mm-hmm. I'm actually sitting in Chuck Mueller's office. Chuck Mueller was a research scientist in soil and crop sciences. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is that he was able to become emeritus under that title. Mm-hmm. And he continued to do amazing work for Cornell. And we were able, I'm sorry to say he was killed very unexpectedly last year, but we were able to publish his book, which is going to be an incredible boon for New York farmers. And that would not have happened without that emeritus status. So that's, if that's not available through these other research titles, I think that's a critical piece to think about if you're going to reconstitute this job title, because it was really beneficial to Chuck, and it was really beneficial to Cornell, and it was really beneficial to New York.
So I can say that every RTE title is eligible for emerita status.
Wonderful.
And so part of the work that we were doing as the task force last year was to get recognition of that in many different ways and have that recognized by Workday, HR, transportation, wellness, library, CIT.
Excellent.
we have been doing the work. And so now emeriti RTE have recognition in places where it wasn't before. So
thank you very much for doing that work.
We did do the work and we're still doing the work. We're not finished. So yes, Carl.
Sorry, couldn't find the unmute button. And I hope Buzz will help me out here because I think he's got a better grip on this one than I have. I wanted to bring up a tangential thing, but it's meant a lot to me for a long time. I just came over from Wilson Lab where the synchrotron is, and there's a fantastic group of people there who are staff scientists over there. And I remember when we did the RTE expansion of the Senate, somehow they couldn't be included. And so this is even a step away from what I consider trying to put things right. I don't know how the whole issue would play out with the proposing grants and stuff like that. I know one fellow who I thought extremely highly of, really great honor to work with him, and he's no longer with us. So I can only guess maybe it had something to do with it, the difficulty of proposing grants. But what I want to bring up is there's a really amazing group of scientists that I know of. And Buzz, I hope you would, because you have historical memory and keeps things straight in your mind, and all experience with CHESS, will correct me if I'm wrong, but these guys just cannot be included among the RTE faculty that are represented in the Senate.
Gosh, I'm not sure that I certainly know there's an enormous pool of talent over there, and I haven't seen anybody from CHESS included in the faculty senate.
Yeah, and when I asked Charlie about it, you know, I may have been just asleep at the switch and said, oh, what about, you know, these fantastic people I work with all the time? And the answer, I think, was we're moving step by step. next train?
Well, actually, it's not the next train from my perspective. So all of the senior titles in RTE are eligible for University of Voting Rights.
So somebody is a staff scientist over CHESS, they're already in
there. If they are a research scientist, they do not have university voting rights. But if they are principal or senior research scientist, then yes, they do. And let me just make sure I remember which title is. Yeah, oh, so okay. If they're principal research scientist, they have university voting rights. So it's really what tier are you on?
Oh, I got you there. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, Richard.
Yes. Thanks, Eve. Right there. I'm a little bit skeptical of these titles. In part because I don't see why many of the functions that are being performed couldn't be performed by tenure track faculty. We've talked about this before in the Faculty Senate. There's an incentive, a general incentive, to offload tenure track and tenured functions onto non-tenured track faculty who then become a second order citizens, participants in the academy. This being underlined a bit by the emphasis in this discussion by those who are disadvantaged by it, the lack of prestige in these positions then leads them to have career problems, difficulties. There's also, when we create these positions, we tend to reify them in terms of function. They turn out to be defined as spaces that then only these kinds of non-tenure track faculty can perform in and solve. What I would like to see us do before going any further with this is generally to talk about why, to discuss why these kinds of positions cannot be tenure track positions. And in those cases where they cannot be tenure track positions, whether or not some kind of process through which those in these non-tenure track positions can then apply for, be considered for tenure track positions. I don't like the idea, many of us have said this in the past, don't like the idea of having subordinate positions on the faculty. We would like us all to be on some kind of, on a level, members of the same thing, to enjoy the same privileges and responsibilities. So I think to sum up, I'm skeptical we should go ahead with this without a broader conversation on why these positions cannot be part of the regular academy, rather than being in this kind of limbo land forever for all their careers.
I don't want to speak over you. Sorry, you finished, Richard? Oh, okay.
I'm done.
Okay, sorry about that. I started speaking before you were able to mute. So I would say very first thing I want to say is that RTE faculty and university faculty have very distinct value that they bring to the university, and they are of equal status. I don't think that there is a caste system here. And so I maybe perceptions are that, but I would say that we should be arguing and advocating and showing the real value of RTE faculty. When undergraduates think back to their alumni, think back to their undergraduate experience, many of them, and they don't know the difference, talk about their faculty memories of people who are really special to them, and many of them are RTE faculty. So I think that's one thing that we should think about. And I think also RTE faculty, there are people who don't want to be on a tenure track, don't want that life, those choices. And so they're distinctly choosing to do pure research, pure extension, pure teaching, without other responsibilities that go with being tenure track faculty. So I just think that we should take care that, presuming that it's a caste system, and I think we should also take care that some people really truly choose not to be tenure track, despite their excellence. They just, that's not the lifestyle they would like. Roxanne.
Sorry, trying to unmute, and apologies, I don't have a camera. I wanted to thank you for having this forum, and I was actually the one who raised, after looking, that there aren't any senior research associates on the task force, not to criticize the task force at all. You've done wonderful things. I was going to say some of the things that you just said. Sometimes you choose to not want to be tenure track faculty, or I would be an example of this. It wouldn't probably very much be possible here if you're, say, here with your spouse who has a very similar research track to what you do. And so, you know, your department or another one isn't likely to put another person in that is so close to those same, you know, research topic areas. And so you have another way to contribute to the university. I think the issue of inclusion, I've often thought about that, and just feeling valued, and I think that's a bit department to department specific, the way research faculty, RTE faculty are viewed. I think just from others I know, it's pretty different across departments. And so I support this adding the senior research scientist and senior research scientist to it for several of the reasons here, the choosing, so you don't have to be an other. It's viewed, I think the point was made at the Faculty Senate presentation, across peers and in scientific societies and things in general, that's much more understood label title than is a research associate. And so I think feeling just within Cornell that you're valued, and a lot of people in my position that I know, you know, do things like advise students. I had an honors student last year. We have other students in our lab that I'm like the primary one who works with. I've done some work helping with the honors thesis in management for one of the categories, and just things like that you do. But you're basically, I am completely on research grants, and so you're doing that as a volunteer pretty much, and so, you know, it would be nice to just have a title that sort of more broadly reflected respect for what you do. And I, you know, the whole ceiling thing, I'm sorry, I'll stop in a minute, but of you can't go up any further. I mean, I kind of understand that if you don't want a tenure track line or something, there only is so far that you can go. But perhaps one thing that's a bridge between just making everybody tenure track, which would mean the university would mean the money to pay those people's salaries the whole time, is to have some way to think about potentially at least, you know, sort of partially paying the salaries of senior research people who have been, or extension people who've been here a long time, contributed a lot to the university, but instead of you getting a letter every year with your reappointment about how, if you know, this is contingent on the funds and we'll see you later if you don't have them, you know, it's just a way that you don't feel very valued. And so maybe I understand that would take money, but it might be worth exploring. Is there some way to have some bridge support for salaries when indeed you're supposed to write grants, but you can't really write the grants. And so it is one swimming with a hand behind your back to some extent. That said, I'm happy to have been at Cornell here for much of my career, but I do think there's ways it could be more inclusive and feel more respected. And I think, as Buzz Barstow said, to really enhance the climate overall here for research, teaching, and extension. So thank you. Sorry for talking so long.
Oh, no, we appreciate it, Roxanne. I wanted to ask you, if you don't mind, the way that I think makes sense in how it's been discussed by the university faculty committee and other places on campus is that we would keep the research associate tied to faculty sponsorship. The research scientist would be an independent PI who submits grants under that title. And then research professor would also still be an independent PI, but of a different sort of level of entry, I guess, in terms of their productivity, research productivity. Does that sound right? That was to you, Roxanne.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't really know. I guess that would take, you know, more broad input. It seems like a lot of levels that are almost the same to me. And maybe it would be worth really clarifying, say, this difference mm-hmm. between a research professor, senior, and a senior research scientist. It seems like a lot of maybe too much hair splitting. I don't know. I don't know really what it would be. And it seems to me, to some extent, you have to be still, if you're doing research, you're associated with a faculty member or a program to some extent, because certainly in our department, no one's going to give you your own lab or anything. So in that position, and I'm not even saying necessarily they should for everybody in our position, but I mean, you do have to have some affiliation often anyway. So
yes, affiliation to a unit, but not necessarily tied to a PI or a university faculty member, I think was to distinguish between the associate and the scientist. But that is exactly where the university faculty committee landed, is now to really make clear the difference between a research scientist and a research professor and the tracks that they're in. So thank you. Thank you for that feedback. Keith?
I really appreciate all the directions this conversation is going and what it means to the community at large, the RTE and the rest. I think, you know, thinking about what Richard said, there are some nuances here that are really important in terms of what we think of as culture. And the culture, there is a real culture here at Cornell. I know it exists. I've heard full professors, senior tenured faculty member refer to real faculty when other than tenured folks are speaking up on contentious issues. And so real faculty and whatever the not real faculty are, assuming that that's not tenured, that cultural thing is a reality right now. And as a result, there is, at least in some corners, a bit of a caste problem. But that's not to say that that problem is an unfixable or intractable type of problem, given the conversations like this. And I think then it's important to disconnect tenure from discussions around rank and title. It may be that senior extension or senior research associates need a place to become independent when the job description actually requires you have an independent program. There needs to be a place for those individuals to go that isn't associated with tenure necessarily, but does have a reflection of rank and some parity in rank, so that it's clear to all of us on the inside, oh, this isn't a teaching faculty tenured person, but they are of rank to have their own independent program. And I personally would advocate for a professorial title or something that gives you that rank, but doesn't confuse the matter on tenure. Because fundamentally, the culture problem in the caste system, I think, really boils down to feeling valued more than it does to whether or not you have tenure, ultimately.
Anyone else? So we're in our last 10 minutes. I'm hoping to have more these faculty fora more frequently. And I, you know, if there's reasons for us to also continue this style of conversation in this space, we can use it as well. So I just wanted to make that available to everyone. Betsy?
Yeah, I just want to, I should turn my video. Sorry, I haven't had my video. I just want to sort of agree with the last statement Keith made, which is that, well, and you had said about people that don't want a tenure position. That's certainly not been my case. I've advocated for tenure for myself and stuff like that. So I'm not somebody, I've been here because of a spousal issue, right? But what Keith said is, it isn't about tenure. It really is about being able to function well. I think respect is nice. That's appreciated. I think that's the case. But I think the issue is sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, I really feel like we literally get a hand tied behind our back and then get told, run the obstacle course. And when, you know, and by the way, run it as well as tenure track, by the way, all of this stuff, but we're not going to give you any of the perks that other people get. And for the most part, I would be super happy if people let me alone and just let me travel a path. You know what I mean? Like, happy to build my own team. Don't really need you to feel like I'm important. That's not my thing. But it just would be nice if it wasn't, if we didn't have added problems, right? So it'd be nice if we just sort of were allowed to do things without trouble. And I think that's the, to Keith's point, that's what I think it is. It's like, you know, we don't need the tenure. I'm happy to bring in my own money. You don't have to give me a job if I don't bring in my own money. But it just would be nice if it wasn't more difficult.
And I should say also to make clear that tenure track positions always have to go through a search, which isn't always the case for RTE. And so that's another reason why these aren't tenure track positions. But I think—
Right. Yeah. No, and I do agree with Keith too. We do have a other issue here. There's no doubt about that. But again, I think it's easier to live as an other when people aren't making life more difficult.
Yeah. Buzz. Thank you, Betsy.
I'll just throw this out there. Is there, in the discussion we've had, we've sort of talked about, like, how do we support, you know, people who aren't tenure track, especially like giving them sort of autonomy, you know, being lab space, you know, people for them to work with. I guess the reason we're stuck in the situation we're stuck in is that, you know, the most durable business model we've found for academia sort of is the tenure track one, right? Where you sort of couple teaching with academic research. We've seen sort of attempts, I think, over the years, over the decades, to kind of break that connection. And I don't think that anybody has really been successful to date. Is there a way we could break it? I don't know. I'd love to see it if we could. I really would. But it's something to keep in mind, right? It's a sort of construct. That's a sort of, you know, figuring out how to pay for it is probably the biggest constraint we operate under.
There are plenty of institutions that have tenure track university faculty and research faculty who are soft money positions, and people are able to stay as research faculty and get promoted to full purely on soft money and hold a lab and prestige. So I know there are other institutions that where that's very possible. And so,
and you think they're doing it better than we are, I guess, is the sort of, is the question.
We can say that they have the infrastructure exists. Okay. For this to be, and for people to have long, you know, decades long careers as pure researchers and not tenure track.
Okay. Cool.
So, and lecturers as well. So we can look elsewhere and see models and okay. Learn from them.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes, of course. So we have 4 more minutes if anyone wanted to have one last comment, but I would say that, you know, we will post our conversation, we will post the chat, and we'll have a place on the website for people to continue the conversation in a public forum if you would like. And as we start having this more in-depth conversation through the RTE task force, we're about to start meeting again. We'll keep updating the Senate as we make progress. And I just think we need to have more discussions about what it is exactly this proposal is and what it would mean to everyone, both university faculty and RTE faculty, before we bring something to as a formal resolution. Yeah, Betsy. Oh, you're muted.
You'd think I'd learn by now. Just to throw my last two cents. If you want value, is if the university looked to see what wouldn't happen if there were no RTE faculty. Because there are a lot of RTE faculty in all the different programs. A lot of teaching wouldn't happen. There's a lot of extension that wouldn't happen. There's a lot of research that wouldn't happen. And we have value. We have value just by the fact that we all do excellent work. And there's, you know, so I don't know how to put it. And it's a somewhat of a, it's not exactly a joke. It's actually a true thing. But, you know, to actually go and look at the value of RTE and you know, ask to be shown the fact that we have that value, I think would be important.
And I don't know if you remember, I shared the composition of the different colleges and their degrees of art, research, teaching, extension, faculty relative to university faculty. And they, I think what that reveals is that each college has their own relationship between the university faculty and RTE faculty. And some are very lecture heavy, some are very research heavy, some are very extension heavy. And so for that reason, it is, I think most of me thinks that we should be thinking about research RTE and what is it that would affect your quality of life for your research, teaching, same thing, extension, same thing. I feel like they're very distinct ways of being and your relationship to the university. Same with archivist and or archivist, I guess I should say, and curators and librarians. That's another distinct group with distinct relationship to the university. Yes, I was going to share the chat as well. So we're going to download that, hopefully, right, Jill? I just want to make sure. Yes, okay. I'm not misleading you. So yeah, we like to try to keep as much of the nuance as possible. So yes, if you want to add something just before we get off on the chat, please do. And then we're also going to make sure that there's a public forum for you if you would like to continue the conversation. I really appreciate all of you coming to have this conversation with us. This is obviously not the end of this conversation, so we'll create more spaces as we move forward and make progress. So with that, thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
And I'll just hang out just in case anybody has some last minute. But we've stopped recording, right? Okay, we can stop recording.